preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. I've debated much this morning. I wanted to share with you and pray quite a bit about it all. But let's go to Acts chapter 12, because I'm just going to share some reality that's going on, and ask everyone of you to be praying more than you ever have before, because we are entering into a very dangerous time. When the devil begins to freak out, when there's just too much truth in there, he tries to stop it. I'm going to read you a story. I'm going to tell you some things about the past. But we need to put this in perspective, because in this story here in Acts chapter 12, we've got both situations. Okay? Because persecution of Christians and an all-out war of Satan against Christians is not coming. It's already here. Okay? Just ask anyone who lives in the Middle East or North Africa. What you saw in Orlando, Florida, a few weeks ago, you're going to see in churches. I believe that the government-sponsored jihadists that went into the Orlando homosexual club, I believe that that was planned first to try to go after our gun. That's why they picked that card. Kevin said that much of that story we're not being told the truth about. Even former New York police officers are testifying that something's fishy about that whole thing. We're not getting the entire story. More than likely, it was government-sponsored Muslims, all the way down from, you know, pushed by Mr. Barry G. Obama himself and the Red Alliance and the rest of the Muslims that now run our government. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. The Department of Homeland Security chief is Muslim. The head of the CIA, right, is a Muslim. And I'm going to tell you, their loyalty first is not to the United States of America, not to the competition, and certainly not to the Bible, and certainly not to Christians, and not to this country based on Christianity. Granted, we're far from that foundation now. But the enemies of the state now run the state. And they have now declared us the enemies of the state. Okay? So this game is serious. Plus, on top of all that, President Obama is bringing in Muslims here, hundreds every day. And I don't care what you say, whether you like it or you don't like it, you're one of those politically correct, liberal-leaning type people, you probably need to not watch or listen to this message this morning, because as I shared on Wednesday night, our radio program, that got flooded with a Muslim attack. About 368 people hit our, while we were watching live. I mean, came on live, and we had it set where anybody could listen. They basically tried to take over with their foul mouth, and just, they don't even want to hear the truth about their own religion. I'm sorry, but Muhammad married a six-year-old girl and then had sex with her when she was nine. So he's a sick person. He's not a true prophet of God. Is that simple? Okay. But you understand that me saying that, even though that's in their own writings, it's in the Hadith, it's a fact of Muslim Islamic history. Okay? But me saying that, the Muslims want to kill me. Or saying what's in their own religion. They came over there and said, you're not an expert on the Quran. I'm like, I don't need to be an expert when I read what it says and I see what you do. It's not hard to figure out that you believe in practicing jihad, violent jihad. It's not hard to figure out. And it's not hard to figure out that it's taught in the Quran and the Hadith and the example of Muhammad. It's not hard. When you see that the Quran says to follow Muhammad, that he is the model to follow, and Muhammad went and massacred people who even surrendered to him. He was a warlord. demon possessed. His own mother thought he was demon possessed. His encounter that he said was with the angel Gabriel, but was really with a fallen angel who pretended to be Gabriel. But that very encounter, the angel that he encountered, nearly choked him to death, and Muhammad went from there thinking about committing suicide. Not an encounter with the true angel of God Almighty, the Creator. Not a true angel from the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. Okay? So we need to understand that they don't even want you to tell the truth about their own religion, what's in their own books. See, because the only peaceful Muslim is the Muslim who's not practicing the Quran and the Hadith of the example of Muhammad. So they really technically are a lukewarm Muslim if they're peaceful.
Sure.
Now, granted, as I said the other night, I made it very clear that I understand that there are some Muslims out there who are really only Muslim because that's the tradition they grew up in. They don't really practice it fully. I mean, they might celebrate Ramadan somehow. They might pray once in a while, or they might even pray five times a day. But what I'm saying is they don't practice it till it's in the fullest. Like, how do you think ISIS and al-Nusra and Hamas and Hezbollah and all this, how do you think they recruit so many people and young people to their cause? I'm going to tell you how they recruit. They point to Muslims who are trying to get along with the West. So they point to them, and then they read the Quran and the Hadith and the example of Muhammad, and they say, they're not really following Islam. They're not really practicing Islam. Come follow us. And so that's how ISIS gets so many recruits. I mean, really, that's the way it is. Now, why am I bringing this up today? Because you have to understand that these people are everywhere, these Muslims, right? Then we have the Antichrist people in our government that hate Christians and are labeling us domestic terrorists and potential threats, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about, you know, going after people who are on a no-fly list and going after and not letting them possess firearms, violating our Second Amendment rights because you may be the suspected domestic terrorist. Felony is about to erupt the Civil War in America. They come for guns. It's going to get ugly. The Muslims start attacking multiple places again and again and again as it's coming. There are people in this country that are going to take up arms against them. There's going to be a war. So you might as well understand that probably, I hate to say it, most Christians in the world that will continue to live over the next several years, maybe even a decade, will more than likely end up being a martyr. Not everyone, but there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people. This story in Acts chapter 12, the devil's always out to silence and stop true Christianity, the true message of Jesus Christ in the Bible, the true Creator. Not Allah. Well, that would sing them off the other way. It's so easy to connect Satan, Lucifer, to Allah. There's many similarities between Hebrew and Arabic. Sometimes the same word is pronounced the same way, it means the same thing. Kind of like in, you know, there's great similarities. I took 3 years of French, and of course, familiar a little bit with Spanish, but what amazes me is the similarity between French and Spanish. Some words are even almost exactly the same, mean the same thing, like bien, right? Très bien, it's French, very good, right? Muy bien, right? Same thing, but there's two different languages, French and Spanish. Well, Hebrew and Arabic are the same. And what's interesting is, I was looking up the other day in Isaiah 14, where it says, "How is our fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" I've shared this many times, but in the original Hebrew, the name for Lucifer there, it should have been, in Hebrew, it's pronounced Hallel. Okay? You look it up, even in the Strong's dictionary, and Hallel means praise, right? Hallelujah is where it comes from. And we know from Ezekiel 28 that Lucifer, Satan, when he was created as an angel, it said he had built in pipes and taverns. So I believe, like many, that he was one of the three archangels, top angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Hallel, who we call Lucifer or Satan now. But that Michael's the warrior, Gabriel's the messenger, and Lucifer or Hallel was the worship leader. Okay? But his name means hallelujah, praise, blessing, right? And something that's praise worthy, right, means accepted. Well, guess what? Hallel in Hebrew means praise or praise worthy, and in Arabic it means accepted, right? Basically blessed. Same meaning. Well, in that same passage in Isaiah 14 where it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" He said that Lucifer said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven." This is where Lucifer made his plan to ascend into heaven to try to overthrow God Almighty, Yahweh, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to ascend into heaven and take over. And the word ascend, where he says, "I will ascend into heaven," where he says, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds," the word ascend in Hebrew is Allah. So what Hallel was saying is, "I will Allah into heaven." And then I look up what Allah means, and the Basra school of grammar in Arabic says that Allah means, part of it means lofty. So you have the word ascend in Hebrew, Allah, and then you have the word in Arabic meaning, Allah meaning lofty. Both words connecting this deity they call Allah to Satan, Lucifer. And folks, it's not hard to look. It says, "By their fruits you will know them." Look at Satanists molest children, underage children. They kill people as human sacrifices. They drink the blood. They'll eat human body parts. This is practiced in Satanism. Yes, they molest. They try to molest children when they're young. Guess what? It just so happens in Islam, you can marry a child. You can have sex with a 6, 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old in Islam. It is permitted. And they will cut your head off and believe they're doing Allah a service. And we saw some of the Syrian and some of the ISIS fighters and some of the Syrian Free Army and some of these others, when they killed some of their enemies on the battlefield, cut them open and eat their liver and eat their heart. These people have the same God, I'm sorry, the Satanists and the Muslims. It's not the God of the Bible, nor is it the God of creation, nor is it the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. They serve the fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan, Hallel, who said, "I will Allah into heaven and overthrow God." Now, all of that's true, right? Every bit of it's true. It's true from the Bible. It's true from their own writing. See, in a world of lies and deception, telling the truth becomes a criminal act. See, to all that world out there, let me just go ahead and tell you. To all that world out there, the two, almost 2 billion Muslims, to almost, you know, all the Sikhs, all the liberal, all the Antichrist people, all the hippie, New Age, everything. Let me just say, we are the enemy. We are the hated. Jesus said we'd be hated with all nations. This is where we are. Now let's read this. Acts 12, and I'll share this. For some reason, y'all needed to hear that. Again, they tried to shut me down tonight, but I'm going to keep sharing the truth. Acts 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quatrains, or quatrains, or whatever, battalions, I guess, of soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and the gospel him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up quickly, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and he did. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of Jews." When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And everybody knows what happened. Now let's look over in verse 20. Of course, when they rose up the next morning, they couldn't find Peter. Herod had the keepers of the prison executed. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, and desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, stood upon his throne and made an oration unto him. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiply. Now, this story, the reason I'm reading this morning is because, of course, this is New Testament truth. This is New Testament reality. At times, there are plots by evil forces, and even evil forces that are in governmental authority. Herod was the king of Judea, of the Judean region. He was the Roman king. So he was the authority. He was the law of the land, let's say. Right? What Herod said, that's the way it was. Right? So Herod decides this one day, and I believe inspired by Satan, he just says, "You know what? I've got to," Satan really is the one that starts freaking out. He says, "I've got to stop this church of Jesus Christ. I've got to stop this truth from getting out. I've got to stop this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go after their leaders, not just everyday Roman Christians, but we're going to go after their leaders, because there's always a thing about, you know, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." So the devil knows this principle, right? So here's what most people get in their minds. We've got a bunch of people in America that think that nothing can happen. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, that nothing bad can happen to you. Folks, that's a prosperity gospel. That's a fake, phony lie from the devil.
Now, He's God our refuge and our protection, and can He deliver us in any situation, and has He many times. Yes, I'm going to share some of those stories. But let's not forget that there are times that God does allow His godly men and women, true believers, who are not living in sin, He does allow them to become martyrs. He does. And I look at this situation in James, the Apostle James, one of the 12 that had walked with Jesus, who was faithful, who was anointed, who was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. He was there on the day of Pentecost. He was there when they crucified Him. He was with Him for 3 years. He gave up everything to follow Jesus. He was anointed. And the devil stirs up this plot. I've got to silence the church. I've got to stop this church of Jesus Christ. I've got to stop this truth of the Messiah from getting out. I've got to stop the church. I've got to silence the church. So, the devil moves in the governmental authority of Herod. And the false religion, really at this time, of the Jews, because once the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah came, and the Jews rejected Him, their religion is a false religion. If you reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah, you are Antichrist. I don't care if you're a Jew or Gentile, or Islamic, or whatever. If you reject Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, who died on the cross for sin, who rose from the dead, who was sinless, if you reject that truth, you are Antichrist. You are deceived. It's that simple. But the devil begins to move within the governmental authority. Let me tell you, I have never, in all my life, I'm 48 years old, I have never seen Satan moving with such freedom in our government as he is now. And he's moving them against us. And in this story, James is murdered by the government. You understand what I'm saying? The apostle James is murdered by those in authority. Murdered. Killed. And then he wasn't going to stop with just James. I believe he had a plan and a plot. He was going to go down and find all 12. And then he was going to work his way down to the elders and to the deacons and to everybody else. And so he takes Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter's one of the leaders. He's one of the big leaders. Let's take Peter. We're going to execute him. Oh, wait a minute. The Jews have a religious holiday. And at the time, a lot of people get confused about this, but sometimes Easter or the celebration of Ishtar falls around the same time as Passover. That's why these two holidays get confused sometimes. So that's why it was the days of unleavened bread during Passover, but it was also Easter time for the pagans. And so Herod goes, well, I'm trying to keep the Jews happy, I'm trying to keep the pagans happy, so let's just wait on this execution of this popular figure, Peter. Peter was very popular at the time in Jerusalem and round about. He led thousands. His first sermon led 3,000 people to the Lord. His shadow, people would be laid in the streets as Peter walked by in his shadow. God would use him in such a mighty way, the power of Jesus would flow through his shadow and heal the sick. So Peter was well known, well liked, but not by the Jews, who were now Antichrist. Not by the Jews who were now anti-church. Not by the governmental authorities who were both Roman and Jewish. No, Peter was not popular. He was a problem. Remember, too much truth sets people free. And satanic, inspired governmental tyranny always wants to take away your freedom. That's why I love what the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For the Holy Ghost is moving freely, there is freedom. God brings freedom to people. But see, we're free to not live in sin. We're free to not do our neighbor wrong. We're free to love our neighbor. We're free to provide for ourselves. We're free. But when satanic tyranny comes in through government and evil people, freedoms begin to be taken away. This is a biblical principle, guys. Between liberty and tyranny. Tyranny has always been sponsored, pushed, and influenced by Satan. Always. Well, I know a lot of our founding fathers were not born again Christians. But a lot of them, even though they weren't Christians, they were walking after Christian principles. And they weren't anti-Christian. They weren't anti-Bible. And the principle was, we should be free. We should have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of worship, the right to bear arms. We shouldn't be have search and seizure without due process. Freedom. The people should be free to govern themselves, to rule themselves, to choose their leaders. And if need be, yes, to resist evil tyranny. Now, in this story, you got both extremes. You have James and Peter. You have one allowed to become a martyr, a warning signal for the rest of the church. And what was that warning signal? Now, warning signal, but Satan is not going to stop at just the Apostle James. He's going after Peter, then he's going after the rest of you. It was a warning to them, and they finally woke up. And guess what? Isn't it amazing to look at the fact that the early church obviously didn't understand the nature of the war that was against them? But once James was killed and Peter was taken, it's like they woke up and realized, we got to pray. And we got to pray more and more fervently than we've ever prayed before, or people are going to die. See, you've got to stop this belief system that if I'm a Christian, nothing can touch me. That's not true. You have to fight this spiritual war. And if you're lazy and you don't pray and you don't do the spiritual warfare and you don't live for God and you don't obey God, you're putting yourself and people around you in greater danger. The only way any of us are going to survive in the days and months and years ahead is because we are a praying, fasting, spiritual warfare practicing people in Jesus' mighty name. He is our only hope, our only strength, our only refuge. The powers that are now arrayed against us are more than we can handle ourselves. And I look at what God did. Listen. A praying church. God sent an angel and take Peter out of a prison, cause chains to fall off his hand, open the doors of a prison, had Peter walk out of that prison right back to his church family, and then just a little while later, that angel kills the one who was trying to kill the church. But it's not just because, the Calvinists would say, oh, God is sovereign. He just chose to do it that way. You really think that's how it worked out? Why do you think Jesus taught his disciples and the Bible teaches us, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? We have to pray it. I love what the great founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, said one time. He said, God will do nothing but in answer to prayer. God's work upon the earth is through men and women who pray his will that is in heaven come down and be done on earth. But I'm going to tell you, everything of God's will done on earth, someone prayed it through. I know some people don't like to hear that. Oh, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants. Yes, he's sovereign. He can do what he wants. And he laid out the principle of how things happen. And the way things happen on earth is somebody prayed.
His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then his will is worked in that situation. Because you don't understand some of these things. God doesn't violate man's free will. So other men and women have to come in with their free will and agree with his will for his will to be done. Why Calvinism, though, Calvinism is of the devil. It is a satanic system of mixed up, messed up doctrines. James is murdered by the government, martyred. Peter's taken. You say, well, this doesn't sound like a Father's Day message. Yeah, it is. Because you know what they represented? James and Peter to the church at that time, they were spiritual fathers. That's why the devil tries to everything he can to remove fathers from the home. Because he knows. Fatherless children can get in a lot more trouble and have a lot more problems. Just a fact of life. Sorry. Mothers, most of you do a great job, but you can't be both. And there are some fathers that have failed, abandoned their kids, and there are some fathers that just got kicked out, had no power in them, got cheated on. That was just what happened. So, not down on dads, there's a lot of dads that wanted to be in their kids' lives and they can't. Right? But it's all about father. In fact, here's the thing. And this is something I guess you really need to get to that. You really have to know God as your father. And that means you're not always going to know why he's doing what he's doing. But you trust him. A kid's favorite question when you tell them to do something. Why? I can't tell you how many times over the years I said, do not ask me why, just do what I say. I don't have time to explain to you the entire thought process that came to this decision. Just trust me and obey me, and your life will go much better. Right? Why? You know what? If you can't figure out why this plan, you're still a child, and you are obeying an adult. You got to ask why. If you don't know why, then you're not ready to be your own boss. Right? I want to tell you this. Look, and kids, this is serious. This is not just life and death. It's going to come down to whether we obey God. And for some of you kids, life and death will come down to obeying your parents. And you might think it's something stupid your parents have told you to do. But you don't realize that God is speaking through them to protect you from something. I know teenagers that are dead by the time they listen to their parents. I know teenage girls that have gotten raped because they didn't listen to their parents and went somewhere that was told not to go. But it's the same way with God. You better know God as your Father, and you better trust Him, and you better obey Him, even when you don't understand why. Now, as for us, I want to share this. I'm going to be very brief with that. I'm going to end pretty quickly. I cannot get into all the details. So, as a spiritual father in this house, you're just going to have to trust me on some things right now. You know I hear from God. And you know I discern things and I perceive things. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. Right now, the Fire and Grace Church for me and for us. There is a very big thought out plan to silence me and this church. Just so you know, listen, you want to talk about some reason, even Wednesday night, we had problems on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, all of our other shows, tells me how many people were listening, and there's no record of it's like zero of who listened Wednesday night. Even though I know from the call-in list and the chat room and everything else, again, it wasn't people listening. And I couldn't get it to play either on Blog Talk Radio. And what was I talking about? Islam, gun control, rise of Antichrist. Also, think about this. You guys need to, really think. I get so many emails, and this is not a pride issue. I'm not trying to exalt myself in any way. I've got plenty of issues, and we are a small church. So we have nothing to boast or brag about. But I'm just going to tell you, God is fulfilling his word to me from many, many years ago, decades ago, that this ministry would reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world. Now, back in those days, I thought I would be traveling to all these places. This was before the internet. It was before Facebook Live and YouTube and iTunes and, you know. But just in the past 28 days, in the past month, listen to me. The video, the two videos that we just recently put out, we're approaching 12,000 views in the last 28 days. You put that with the people that visit our website, read our articles, the people who listen to messages on iTunes, the people ordering and reading the books, the people who watch live on Periscope and Facebook. I figured it up that in the last month that there's been about 600 to 700 people a day that we're reaching all across the United States and other countries in the world. A day. You read that. With the truth. And I get emails and phone calls and messages from people. You're one of the only pastors that I hear that's preaching the truth on all these different subjects. I want to tell you, we're not the only one. I had one guy who was persistently that you're the only one. You're the only one teaching. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But we are few. But listen to me. An old enemy in my life has tried to destroy me several times to raise me up against you. My enemies go way back. My enemies go back to Satanists, high priests, and high priestesses. I've been shot at, I've had hits put on my life. I'm feeling that same level of danger again. And there's a multi-pronged attack going on. Found evidences of witchcraft curses in my yard. We have been, Nancy and I, and Faith, now Bethany, have been attacked spiritually and physically. This week has been almost unlike any other. The attack has been on every side. Financial, physical, spiritual. But I'm just going to tell you, there's a couple of threats that are big and serious. Okay? So I don't need anyone to take this lightly. There are forces out there. Satanic, Islamic, government, and otherwise, who want to silence me
and this church. And this is not to brag. I'm not trying to brag or anything. This is reality. This is truth. And I'm telling you, I need your prayer. We need to pray for each other. The more truth you speak, the bigger the target gets on your back and on your name. Look, those of you out there, you think I'm joking. I dealt with, I ministered to a couple of kids, probably around 91, 92, that have been abused in satanic rituals. And their mother brought these two children to me to help minister to them because they were so terrified and traumatized and demonized by what had happened to them. And they'd been to the secular counselors and they weren't getting any better. And so she brought them to me, and I'm going to tell you, we started making great progress. And these were little girls that had seen dogs mutilated and sacrificed to Satan, satanic beings. They had been sexually abused in satanic rituals. Evidence of the case that went to criminal court, evidence of the case came up missing in Montgomery County Police Department, Montgomery City Police. The lawyer handled the case was, I can't remember if he was bicycling or jogging, hit and run near the building. And as I'm counseling these two kids, and they happen to go to the same church that I went to in Montgomery, Alabama, one night, walking out of after a Wednesday night service, three men in masks pulled up in the parking lot, got out of their car, and from about me to Trey, from the front here to the back of the room, pointed rifles at me. In front of witnesses. I'm saying this is very real. I told Kevin a while back, I said, it's been a long time since I really, really felt the way it was in the old days. But I can sense it again. But it's not just that. It's not just the danger that I feel from evil, evil people. But there's also another huge thing out there. So, I just ask for your prayers, those of you that I consider our extended church family out there, in Canada, across the United States, people that live in California, Texas, Florida, Philadelphia, New York, other people, I mean, really, guys, let me tell you, our church may look small here, but we have a much bigger church. We have people out there that really consider Byron Grace Church their church. And that's a blessing. And I don't take that lightly. And that's why I try. I always pray, God, you call me to do this. There are days I feel weak, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I feel like I can't do it anymore sometimes. The attacks get so much. And I say, Lord, you call me to do this. I didn't call myself. I'd rather be laying on a beach somewhere. I'd rather be like most of you and not have to worry about preparing to feed the sheep. But I can tell you this much. The Lord gave me that in, you know, John 21, where he looked at Peter and Johnny and telling him, do you love me? He asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter's like, Lord, you know, I love him. What does the Lord say? I want to feed my sheep. Feed my man. So I know this. I have my issues. I am not a perfect man. I am not a sinless man. Those don't exist. Jesus was the only one. But I can promise you that I have endeavored with all my heart and strength to pray, to study, to hear from God, and to feed the sheep and to feed the lambs the truth of God's word. And the whole counsel of God's word from Genesis to the maps. I've tried.
I got a lot to learn, you got a lot to learn. But one thing I try to tell the Lord all the time, I said, Lord, I didn't call myself to do this. I said, please give me what to share that will feed your sheep and your lambs. And all I want to do is go back. Trust me, there's plenty of Sunday morning I don't want to go to church anymore. I understand how you feel, but I decided to do it anyway because guess what? Jesus said to me, love me. You say, yes, Lord. And he said, sheep. So, okay, God, it's my job. I'll do it. And then, don't get me wrong, I love you. Most of the time, I love you. But it is a real war. You have to understand, it is a real, serious war to be in the Bible. So, I need to pray. Nancy, Faye, Bethany, Caitlin, my family, we need to pray. Brittany, Austin, Casey, a lot of craziness going on right now. I know y'all have some craziness down in your family in Miami. I'm sure everybody's got. Anybody got some level of craziness going on? Yeah, we got it. People need Jesus. They need truth. And they need the power of God. And we're only going to have that to give them. You know, when Peter and John went into Acts 3, when they went into the city, and it says there was a man begging, he was crippled. What did Peter and John say? Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give you. They didn't have any money, but they had the power of the Holy Ghost. They had the power of the name of Jesus Christ. They had the power to see that man get up crippled and walk and change his life. But see, that's not just spiritual. I mean, not just physical in the sense that his physical legs were healed, but that could also mean spiritual as well. How many people are spiritually crippled? They can't walk with the Lord. They don't walk with the Lord. They don't walk in the truth. They don't walk in the power of God. They don't walk in the true reality of knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We may not have silver and gold, but such as we have, we need to give to them. And if you're empty spiritually, you won't have the power, you won't have the anointing, you won't have to give what they need. And the only way you're going to get that is by being a man, a woman, a young person, who spends time with God, who prays, who fasts, who reads, who is willing to step out and, yes, if need be, risk. Now, I've lost jobs for speaking the truth. I've lost a lot of money over the years by walking away from things that were unethical and immoral. Some of us aren't willing to lose anything. Not willing to lose a friend, or upset a family member, or offend somebody, or lose a job, or even, you know, lose your life. Look, the other night, Wednesday night, was the first time in a long time since I went to Africa that I felt my life in danger from Muslims. Now, that doesn't mean I'm scared. Because I'm not. But that was where it shoots back. But I could feel it. Can you get it?
Oh, yeah.
You can feel that hatred. You can feel that desire. I mean, they were inviting us out. You got a 368, one book that you cut it off. Foul mouth, vile. Yeah, that's the religion of peace right there. But, you know, as we say down here, no woman will start. So we put the wrong come up in our grace church and stuff. And you get to see all the wrong places really quick. So that doesn't sound too Christian, actually. The only thing to protect my sheep and my family, I'll get the top sheep back.
I'm going to let you get one. Last week,
I had no idea what the Lord would share or preach or share with you. Oh, so I stepped up here. But I see a theme from the Holy Ghost. It's time to pray. It's time to pray for the leaders. It's time to pray for protection. It's time to pray like you never prayed before. Make time with God. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Make it a priority. It will be a man of life. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you give us the spiritual strength and determination, Lord, to pray, to fast, to bind and resist the demons and the forces of Satan, and to preach and share the gospel and the truth of your word with as many people as we can. Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And as your word says, a disciplined mind. A mind that is disciplined to do the things. The team that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High that will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's the person who dwells in the secret place with you, Lord, that will be able to say, He is my refuge, my fortress. Lord, I know we will see martyrs. More partners in America already gone. Let us not lose our courage, our faith, our discipline, our determination, our prayer lives. Let us not cower in fear of the enemy and evil people. There are many Christians who are silencing the truth because they don't want to stir up hatred and violence from Muslims or anybody else. Lord, you call us to speak the truth. Lord, I pray for your people to be strengthened, encouraged, to cast down fear, to face the reality, whether we are martyred or whether we make it through, you will neither leave us nor forsake us. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right then. I agree.
It's all I want.
King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Bless your people on this Father's Day. Bless the fathers, Lord, give them strength to lead their families, overcome the attacks, protect their families. I bless them.
Yes,
to Jesus. Amen. If you have a tithe or offering, just drop it in the back. I hope you have a great, great day.